Welcome to the Our Stories podcast, where we explore the lives of healthcare providers as a part of our wellness program with the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology at Emory University. My name is Caroline Peacock, and I'm one of the vice chairs of wellness for the HMO department, and I'm manager of spiritual health at Winship Cancer Institute. And today, we're very fortunate because we have with us Nicole Bansavage, who is unit director for Winship at Johns Creek and Buford. Nicole, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I would just like to start by inviting you to share a little bit about what led you to become a nurse. I'm curious if you remember from your childhood imagining that you would be doing the work that you're doing now.
Yes, yeah, so I knew from a pretty young age that I wanted to be a nurse, and that was my calling. I was able to do some work experience in high school at a hospital with some registered nurses. And I think that was one of the pivotal points for me, where I thought after that couple of weeks that this was for me and this is what I was going to pursue for sure.
Well, I imagine that people who are listening to this can tell that that your childhood was not here in the United States from your accent. So I'm curious if you, can you share a little bit about where you grew up and did you get your training in nursing here or there?
Yeah. So I grew up in Adelaide, which is the capital city of South Australia in Australia. And I did get my nursing training there. So I attended the University of South Australia, where I got my bachelor's degree in nursing. And then after graduating, I moved pretty quickly to San Francisco, where I started my nursing career there. And I spent a year after I got to San Francisco trying to get my nursing transcripts switched over to the California Nursing Board, and that they had to review it. And I ended up having to take another extra course before I could sit the California Nursing Board exam. So that's kind of what led me into oncology, actually, was that year, because I had to wait, as I said, for all of that stuff to happen. So while I was waiting, I got a job in a hospital in San Francisco, downtown San Francisco, and I worked for a year as a unit clerk, where I would answer the phone and, you know, help coordinate the admissions and the discharges and transcribe some doctor's orders because they were written on paper and all of that. So that year I had time to watch the nurses and the patients, and I got to know some of the patients really well from the position that I was in, but I really, you know, got to observe the relationships that were built between the patients and the nurses on that unit, and I thrived on that, and I loved it, and I thought, as soon as I can get everything organized, I want to be one of those nurses. So, you know, oncology was never really on my radar as a specialty or as a career. So I always kind of say it chose me. I didn't really choose it. But, you know, sometimes you end up exactly where you're supposed to be, you know, as part of a bigger plan. And I just feel really fortunate that I landed there and I had that experience. And then once I was able to sit the California board exam, that unit actually hired me as a new grad. As a nurse, and then I continued to work there for the next 5 years on that inpatient unit, and they also had outpatient services attached to the inpatient unit at that hospital, so I got good exposure to both inpatient and outpatient oncology services. And so then when I was going to move, we decided to move, or we had to move to Atlanta for my husband's job. Mm-hmm. So when I was telling people, you know, that we were moving to Georgia and to Atlanta, I had Emory on my radar, but people kept saying to me, oh, are you going to work for Emory? And people commented that so often to me that I thought, okay, well, yes, I think I definitely need to be at Emory. So when we moved, I pursued a position with Emory, and I worked inpatient at Emory University Hospital in their hematology oncology unit, where I spent the next 9 years working as a full-time RN on that floor, which I absolutely loved as well and thrived in that environment, and had a couple of children, and then ended up in 2012 moving out here to Johns Creek, buying a home and working as an infusion nurse, outpatient infusion nurse for Winship here at Johns Creek, and then went back and got a master's, and then just moved my way up and became the unit director a few years ago.
Wow. Oh my goodness. You have had such a full history already of engagement in nursing. And it's amazing to me because when I'm around you, you have so much energy. I feel like you have decades ahead of you in terms of the rest of your career. And you've already been doing this for so long. I would love to hear a little bit about, if you can remember back to when you were observing the nurses when you were a kid, what was it about them that made you say, gosh, I want to do that?
I think it was compassion was the biggest part of it. And just to see people who are ill in any way and vulnerable, and just what a difference a great nurse can make to their patient experience, and how the nurses are so pivotal in getting them through that difficult time. And I think that's, you know, one of the things I've loved about all the nursing that I've done, but especially in oncology, because we get to develop very deep relationships with our patients. And long-lasting relationships. We see them, you know, every day or every week or every month for long periods of time. And I think the way that we can be part of their journey and really help them navigate and be advocates for them and just help them through this really difficult time in their lives is something that I've always loved about nursing and oncology nursing.
Well, it really comes through in the way you describe your work, how meaningful that is for you. And I imagine that in your role as a unit director, you're engaged in teaching a lot of nurses, you know, nurses who are kind of new in the field and you know, maybe working in oncology for the first time. How do you try to prepare those nurses? What do you think it's the most important for them to know when they're starting in the field of oncology?
I think it is just to know that building those relationships with the patients quickly, the relationship or the rapport, I think it's really important to kind of start off on the right foot, because we're going to see these patients for months. Like, it's a journey most of the time, and we want to start off well, and we just want them to know early on that we are, you know, confident and competent and efficient in the care that we give, so that they trust us, you know, because I think that's a big part of it. We want them to trust us with their care every step of the way. Well, so building that early is really important.
When you consider that, you know, in some ways, they're putting their lives in our hands in terms of wanting to receive the most excellent care here. So I can see how that trust is such a absolutely essential element. I'm curious about kind of going back to a word that you said earlier. You mentioned the word compassion. And I'm wondering if in your own life, maybe in your childhood, there was someone who really exemplified compassion for you, someone who really imprinted that on you in a way that they're with you even in the work that you do today.
I mean, I think I would have to say both of my parents. I think, you know, they, I have one brother, they struggled with some fertility. My brother was adopted, you know, then I came along. And I just think, you know, we always, my brother and I always felt so loved, so unconditionally loved. And I think they really gave us space to be our own person. And they were great listeners. So I think, you know, they were definitely great role models for us. And, you know, and they were both only children, which is kind of, you know, strange, I think. So I have no aunties or uncles or cousins. But so friendships for them were really important. They, you know, they really had to work on their friendships, and they wanted those friendships to last. So observing that and how they lived their lives, I think they were really great influences on me.
Well, that's really lovely to hear about. And of course, listeners can't see your face, but I can see you on the Zoom screen and I can see your face kind of light up when you talk about them. And that's really beautiful. So thank you for sharing a little bit about them. One of the curiosities I have, especially for people who are working in oncology, you know, sometimes people talk about this as a very stressful field. You know, we are working with patients who are in many ways fighting for their lives, and sometimes you know, sometimes we lose patients, obviously, that we care very, very deeply about and we have formed great connections with. I'm wondering how it is that you tend to your soul, how you tend to yourself in this type of particular healthcare environment where we do experience a lot of loss.
Yeah, sure. You know, sometimes it's really difficult, and we do build these relationships. Sometimes we get really close to patients, and I've definitely had, you know, several of those relationships over the years. You know, when I tell people, or people ask me, what do I do for a living? And I tell them, you know, quite often their response to me is, oh gosh, isn't that so sad? And I don't really see it as that. I did have to have kind of a shift in my mindset at one point when I was working inpatient, you know, and I really tried to think more about the impact that I could have on the patients as opposed to the impact that the patients have on me. I just, you know, I would walk into work and say, okay, I'm going to give 100%, you know, every day while I'm here, I'm going to be present, I'm going to do whatever I can. And then, you know, you try to let it go at the end of the day, but you can't always. I mean, those, you know, you would think about patients at night and wondering how they were doing, if they'd had a rough day. So yeah, it's really hard to let go. But, you know, like I said before, it's really about what can we do to make their journey or their experience as best as it can be.
Mm-hmm. To try to bring them as much comfort as possible on this.
Yes. Training. How can we make this as easy for them as we possibly can? You know, yeah. How can we coordinate their care? How can we get them in and out timely and give them some time back? And just, you know, how can we make sure that we're organized for their visits or their, you know, admissions, and just so that they don't have that stress to worry about. They shouldn't have to be thinking about those types of things.
Well, I think it's really neat that, you know, you mentioned the word compassion earlier, and I think sometimes people think when they hear the word compassion, they think immediately of, you know, how you might be listening to someone or how you might be treating someone directly. But what you're talking about also is administrative functions and how the system administratively can have a compassionate embrace of the patient in terms of making things run smoothly so that they don't have to wait a long time for their chemotherapy or whatever the case may be. So I can see how as a unit director, you're systematically applying compassion in your context.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I see that now as a big part of the role that I have, you know, and I really, you know, the other part is that I try and take care of the nurses so that they can take care of the patients. Mm. That's that's another high priority for me. So making sure that they have what they need and that they're being taken care of and that, you know, I'm making sure that they're okay, because everyone has stuff going on outside of here and our world's a little chaotic right now. So, you know, it's really important for me just to do these little check-ins with the staff and just say, hey, you know, are you okay? What's going on with you? So yeah, it's an interesting environment right now.
Well, I just think it's so lovely the way you're talking about the layers of care in your context, that it's not just the care that you're offering directly to patients, but also to staff so that they can then provide their best. And mm-hmm. And it's nice to imagine you training these younger nurses, for example, knowing that as they progress through their careers, they will be doing the same for nurses who come after them. Mm-hmm. So that's a really beautiful vision. And I know that you, my understanding is you are engaged in a doctoral program in nursing, which is really, really awesome. And I'd love to hear about what your concentration is for your doctorate.
So, so I have just about a year left. I took a little break when COVID got a little crazy, just for my own, you know, peace of mind, but I'm about to get back into it. You know, I have a lot of focus areas. There's a lot going on in Winship around engagement, staff engagement, patient education, and, you know, clinic prep, being prepared for our visits. So my doctoral work is in administration and leadership in nursing. So I think I'm leaning towards how can we fix our telephone triage? That's another big component of our care, and that gets a little chaotic. So just how can we improve those processes so that we can, you know, reduce the number of phone calls and make sure the patients have what they need before they leave here, so they don't have to call back in, and that our messages don't get too sent to one person and another person and then another person. How can we reduce some of that for the patients?
Well, I can imagine many, many patients who will never meet you, but who will be thankful for the work that you're doing, because it will end up helping them down the road. The final question I have is about your wellness and how you tend to your wellness in the midst of COVID, in the midst of working in a healthcare environment. What do you do outside of this place to take care of yourself?
Yeah. So I have found that really needs to be a priority right now more than ever. I try really hard to take care of myself, to get enough sleep, to eat well, to stay hydrated and all of that. But I find that I work much better if all of those things are kind of in sync, for sure. A couple of things though, Johns Creek, the nurses here at Johns Creek, they just started a book club in the last few months, and I was part of the book club, and I've really found, and I think I speak for all the nurses, that it really made us make time for ourselves. It made us make time to find time to read the book at home or on the weekends, and it's given us a little escape from everything that's going on. So we read the book, we come together socially distanced, and we talk about it, and then we start the next book. But I found that, yeah, like I said, it's made us make time for ourselves and given us a little escape. So that's one thing that's been really great. And then I do have two children in middle school, and my son plays baseball and my daughter does competitive gymnastics.
Oh, wow.
So for me right now, my greatest joy is watching their commitment and their passion. And then of course, watching them play or compete on the weekends is really what just, you know, warms my heart right now. And is my, my time for me is watching them.
That's lovely. I can see how they bring you so much joy. And sometimes in spiritual health, we talk about this idea of pour in so you can pour out. or drink as you pour, that sort of mm-hmm. concept, drink as you pour. And I can see how you're drinking in so much goodness so that you're able to pour out to so many people. You know, I so admire the work that is being done on the Johns Creek campus, and I imagine on the Buford campus as well. There is such a culture of kindness and warmth, and I know that that is in large part to your leadership and many of the other leaders in that system. So I thank you, Nicole, for who you are and for what you do. We're very fortunate to have you as in our system, and I thank you for sharing some of your story with us today.
Thank you so much.
And to those of you who are listening, thank you for joining to hear the Our Stories Wellness Podcast. If you would like to share your story, please reach out to myself or to Dr. Wendy Bear. And please be well.